We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and probably next week we should be done, but I'm not making any promises. The commandments are very, very important. God gave very, very clear instructions as we're going through this about, number one, how he wants us to live, things he wants us to do, and things he tells us not to do. God has a moral code. Society doesn't like that. We don't want moral codes anymore. We want the freedom to do and believe whatever we want. And it almost is, in a sense, as long as it's not right. Because if you believe something in it's right, then you're infringing and offending others. Since what is it offending someone to believe something that's against what they're doing? I thought that was just called freedom of choice, freedom of belief. Just mark it down. They're not out for freedom. They're out to silence that which is right. Our society's corrupt. Anything that was once considered right by most people is now considered narrow-minded and intolerant of those who choose to violate it. By the way, in our country, and I'm not getting on our country tonight, but I might as well. You know, there's a group called Freedom From Religion. There's freedom of religion. We have a right to express ourselves. And if a person doesn't like that, they have a right not to like that. But they don't have a right to shut us up. That's how it works. But unfortunately, it's changing now, particularly when it comes to Christian values. We have an activist government led by our president that has done all they can to lead the way. I'll tell you what I fear for. If I wasn't saved and I was living in the days in which we live now, and I had half of a moral conscience as an unsaved person, I wouldn't want to have children. But I'm saved and I know where it's going for us. Okay? And I understand this society isn't all there is, but I fear for our Supreme Court. Yes. I don't know who it was. I'm not trying to be ignorant. I don't know if it was Jefferson that said of the three branches of government, the one he feared the most was the judicial. And we have someone who stated that if they're elected, they're going to put activists on the Supreme Court. That's the big thing. Yeah. Our country is not being necessarily changed by the common man. It's being changed by the activists in our country. And judges that do not have to follow small little things such as the Constitution, things of that nature. But what has happened, the political's out of the way, we'll move on now. What has happened is because we've bought into all of this goofy stuff, we've opened a Pandora's box of nonsense. Okay? When we used to talk about the gay marriage thing, and I think Scalia said it in his dissenting, that it's not just about this. You're opening up a box that's going to go. And all of a sudden, it became about anybody can use a bathroom or a dressing room. What is that all about? Because it's always going to be something else. And our society and our media just jumps on anything that's goofy and unrighteous, like this is great. Here's the next. You know, they want to compare these people to civil rights leaders that stood up for what was going on and stood up for their freedoms. And they want to look, Kaepernick, you can't compare him to any civil rights leaders. He is, and I don't want to be mean, but he's not very bright. I've never met the guy. But we follow these type of people, and it's because we have no moral code. That's the point I'm making. Once you break the moral code, nonsense happens. Right. I saw a couple stories this week. It's not, by the way, it's not just our country, it's the world. An Australian man wants his sister to donate an egg so that he and his partner can have a child together. The reason he wants his sister to donate is so the baby will look like his family. See, the reason that they have to do something goofy like that is because two men together can't have a baby. Two men shouldn't be together. And it's just, it's ridiculous. All these, then couples are, they adopt a baby, and then it's like, where are we going? And someone that stands up and says, is it just me or is that goofy? They look at you like there's something wrong. God gave us a moral code to follow. And you know, when you follow that moral code, things just go a little bit better and you don't have to deal with all of this nonsense. Read another story. There's a 63-year-old lady with the help of a doctor got pregnant with her husband who's like in his 70s and they had a baby. 63, that's old. But someone, psychologist or expert said, that's cruel. They weren't thinking about the life of the baby. Now, wait a minute. That same baby could have been pulled partially out and murdered. But that's okay. And I'm not saying, you know, if a 63-year-old wants to have a baby, I hope they have some children to help raise that thing because they're not making it to high school graduation. Are you with me? But we just have all this goofy stuff. Criminals have more rights than victims.
Yes, they do.
You know, they do. They just have more rights than victims. Yep. There's been stories, and I can give, you know, criminal got hurt while he's trying to rob somebody's house, and he tripped, and he sues the homeowner. What is wrong with us? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We look at something like the Ten Commandments, God's basic moral foundation, and we don't follow it. And when you don't follow it, you've taken a detour. And when you take a detour, there's a lot of different roads on that detour you weren't thinking about. Well, if you're going to go to this extreme, to what extreme will you go? And we're finding out. But let's get back now. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. We said, number one, God wants an exclusive relationship. We said, number two, God wants nothing to replace him. Number three, we must have the ultimate respect for God. Number four, God wants the priority in our life. Number five, we must have respect for family. Number six, we must have respect for life. And then we finished up last week, number seven, God commands moral purity. Let's hit another one tonight. Commandment number eight. Don't be willing to take that which isn't yours and that which you haven't earned. Don't be willing to take that which isn't yours and that which you haven't earned. Here it is. Thou shalt not steal. By the way, God, four words, just pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Thou shalt not steal. Any of you ever been stolen from? Anybody? Who hasn't been? We were on vacation last summer. We went to someone told us, the Bonillas or somebody, told us about a sandwich shop. It was good, but wasn't that good. Because when we came out, four of my son's windows were broken, and they took some of his stuff. And I didn't realize that homeowner's insurance pays for that. That was a blessing. My stuff was in my car parked right in front, and I was standing there. I was good. I'm like, that's fine. But they just, you know, look, this... by the way, sometimes people do things like that. You know how they try to solve their conscience sometimes? Well, you know, the insurance company will pay for that, so I'm not stealing from them. Yes, you are. Why do you think our insurance rates are so outrageous? Well, we bought our Suburban. I think somebody left the door unlocked. We come out, and our back seat is gone. Someone stole the back seat of our car. And I'm like, why would someone steal the back seat of a Suburban? Then I turned it into the insurance, and I found out. Insurance gave us they said, okay, that's $1,800. I'm like, $1,800? Paid $300 deductible, and they gave me the cash, and I went online. And so here's what you got to do. Now you got to buy a used one, and you're probably buying it from the guy who stole it in the first place. And I don't know if Steven found it or Jack, and I'm like, I am not going to buy from someone that steals. We found a guy that actually had a car, and it was in his car. And he didn't want his back seat anymore, so we took it out of his old Tahoe and put it in our car. But people just, we have no conscience. If you steal, it's okay. In our society, we want to punish achievers, right? Isn't that stealing? We have a Robin Hood mentality. Let those who we feel have achieved pay for everybody. And I'm not saying they shouldn't pay their part. By the way, the government backs stealing. It's called IRS. By the way, don't mess with them. They're the best. You get a loan shark. I've never done it. Brother Ryan told me about it. If you don't pay him back, he gets a guy named Tiny that's like 6'5", and he comes and breaks your fingers. Man, the best loan shark to collect money is the IRS. They're good. But we need to be very careful. We want handouts, and the problem is we feel entitled sometimes. We got to be very careful about that, even if we haven't earned it. There is a peace in earning what you get. Many years ago, someone gave me a tape. It was a Christian testimony of this guy that was in the mafia. He worked for like the second in charge. He worked underneath the boss that time until he got arrested, the Godfather guy. He got arrested. But since he worked directly for him, when he got arrested, he was able to get out. But what had happened is his girlfriend or something got sick. So he went to church, and he got saved. Then his Godfather got arrested, and he got out. He's like, now what do I do? So he went and got himself a job. And he said he worked for a couple weeks. He got his first paycheck. He said he looked at his paycheck, and he laughed to himself. He said, I used to spend this much on underwear. But he said, there was something good about knowing that I earned this correctly. Amen. That's how it is. Businesses are having a hard time finding honest employees, aren't they? Yep. We had a guy that was here, was in our church a long time ago, and he used to be a higher up at Walmart. And he said that one of their biggest theft losses were their employees. So they had a really hard time. So if they saw somebody went to a school that they liked or something, said that we got to get this one. This one will have a little bit of character. But the whole point is we don't think stealing is wrong anymore. God says, what did he say? It's very clear. Thou shalt not steal. Let me give you some thoughts on that. Number one, there is never a justification for taking that which is not yours. There is never justification for taking that which is not yours. Now look, all of us have stories of our children when they're younger and they don't know any better, taking something from the store, right? Have your children ever done that? I think one time my wife was at a store getting something. This was back in the days when they didn't hide cigarettes for some reason. And Jessica was a baby and she took her out of the store and Jessica had a pack of cigarettes in her hand. And by the way, she's only like a year old. She's smoked ever since. Just kidding. Remember one time, the kids all went shopping for school, and it was Josiah's first year shopping for school, four-year-old kindergarten. I stayed home because everybody was out, a lot of peace and quiet there. So he came back from the store. I said, man, how'd it go, Josiah? What'd you get for school? And he told me, he goes, I got a backpack. I got a Thomas the Train toy. I got Batman underwear. And I got candy. And my wife goes, no, Josiah, all we got was a backpack, remember? I told you couldn't have those other things. We put them away. He goes, oh, no, I have them. And he zipped open his backpack. Thomas the Train, Batman underwear, candy. Say, what'd you do? We ate the candy and sent the rest of the stuff back. We did take it back, I think. You got to teach your kid, listen, stealing is always wrong. You know, kids, you know, you see them, it's like, well, what's the word they say? I found it. That doesn't matter. It probably belongs to somebody. Yeah. We're really good at justifying taking what's not ours. It always irritates me. Get off here for a minute. Whenever there's some kind of riot or protest over something, they go loot stores. Listen, it has nothing to do with protesting. Remember Rodney King? That was like the first one, and we're watching the video, and here these people run out of stores with televisions on their shoulders saying, for Rodney. Listen, that television's not for Rodney. And it had nothing to do with Rodney. It was lawlessness and an opportunity because the police were displaced to get what you wanted for free. That is called stealing. God's not for that. Behind it all, we're trying to dodge the eighth commandment with twisted logic. So never justify taking that which is not yours. Number two, be careful about the many forms of stealing. Many forms of stealing. Listen, taking something that is not yours is stealing. Okay? I found it. I remember when I was in Bible college, I worked at the McCormick Center. McCormick Center is a huge convention center. And we would work there overnight, third shift. And one of our jobs was when they would set up the conventions, they had these Teamsters that would set this stuff up. And then when we would go, when they would be tearing it down, and these guys would be stealing everything in sight. The workers. And we would get on our walkie-talkies and say, because they just told us to report what was happening. It's like, these guys are walking out with whatever's not nailed down. They're like, okay, we'll just let it go. It's like, that what kind of morals does a person have to steal and think it's okay? You say, well, it's not a big deal. That's an extra. This is where we need to be more concerned about our character than getting something for nothing. Character is important. What are we teaching? Here's another one, not working during work hours. Saw a survey that said that American workers admit to wasting 20% of their time at work goofing off. That's a form of stealing. And by the way, if I was a boss somewhere, actually I am, but our guys use their phones for their work. But if I was a boss at somewhere where you just came in to do your job, you wouldn't be able to have your cell phone. By the way, you younger generation millennials, let me explain something to you. Do you know, back in the day, we used to get by without these things. Now, by the way, I'm glad I have it. I do so much things. I'm not one of these old school. I just, I don't know how to use it. I know how to use this thing inside and out. That's a nice picture. I'm not, again, but listen, when you're at work, you're at work. How many of you ever go somewhere and you want to see a worker and they're texting? I remember Ezekiel called me. Thanks, Ezekiel. I remember, Brother Pineda, I don't know if you remember this. We were playing softball. You remember? We're playing softball, the church softball team. And Brother Pineda was up to bat. And he was up to bat, and he stepped out of the batter's box. The ump was texting. There's one up in the game, and between pitches, he's texting. So Brother Pineda said, time out. He goes, okay, time out. He goes, let me know when you're ready. And Brother Pineda stepped out. Didn't you tell him? Oh, I'll wait until you're done. But listen, we think it's okay that's a form of stealing. When you go to work, work. Now, I know your boss will give you some, but just don't be stealing time. We cheat others. Business schemes. Ponzi schemes. Now, those aren't real popular, but multi-level marketing. That does get people rich, by the way. The people, like 12 people above you, are rich. Pyramid schemes cannot work. So everybody cannot get a dollar off what everybody else sells. But we get ripped off. Let's be very, very careful. Here's one we don't think about. I read this somewhere. Someone gave this as akin to stealing by slandering others. Think about that. You're stealing their reputation. I heard this story. David Livingstone, the great missionary in Africa. In the early days, when he first went to Africa, it's not even like going to Africa today. Okay, I mean, it's like you get dropped off, you go on a ship, you get dropped off on the continent, and you better go in and find a road. And actually, he said, I don't want people that'll come if there's a road. I want people that'll come if there is no road. And he knew it was going to be very, very tough physically. So he decided that when he first went, he was not going to bring his wife because he thought it would be too hard for her. So he said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get it all established and get a house built and get a place and get set. Then I'll send for her and have her brought and we'll get her in and it won't be so rough on her. But because he left her, some of the brethren were criticizing him, saying, well, they must be having family problems. And the whisper started getting worse and worse. And so to stop the nonsense, he had to send for his wife too early and bring her out. And sure enough, she got sick and died while she was there. You know, those people didn't mean anything, but they, in a sense, helped to steal his wife. Yeah. Be careful. We're not supposed to take that from people. Let's not slander people. Number three, God's way of getting is by earning. Earning. Look at Ephesians there. It says, let him that stole steal no more. You say, how do I stop stealing? Stop doing it. How do I get victory over this? Stop. It's not hard. Well, I have trouble lying. How do I get victory? Stop lying. Tell the truth. That was free. You don't have to go to a psychologist for that. You could give to the bus ministry and we'll call it even, okay? It's not that hard. He says, let him that stole steal no more. But he goes on. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give that him that needeth. God says, you want to quit stealing? Here's how you quit stealing. Don't steal anymore. Go get a job. Brilliant. A two-step process. Stop it. You know, it's like sometimes, hey, you have any money? It's like, I know a way you can get money every week. Really? How? Get a job. Now, I know sometimes it's a struggle and you lose your job. You have to go through things and all that. But get a job. But people like to steal. God says, you know how you get? Earn it. Biblical principle. Okay? Go out and earn what you get. Don't expect someone to give it to you. I believe that in this country, if you're willing to work, you can make it. Now, you may not be extravagant, but you can make it. And I think God will bless you for that. Okay? Look, I thought about those girls Brother Esposito mentioned. 7 days a week. Long hours every single day. Just to barely get by. Okay? They don't have others that can help them. They have to survive, and they're willing to do it. And I'm not saying you need to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. But here's some people that are willing to do it. You look in our country, and I'm not trying to be negative here. We have guys that won't work, but yet they want to walk around in $200 tennis shoes with the newest phone. If you don't work, you ought to walk around barefooted. And the only cell phone you should get are the ones we give our little grandkids, little plastic ones that don't work. Okay? And some of them have little water rings in them. You say, well, I want it. Then get a job. Work for it. Amen. You'll feel better about it, too. So I can't afford $200 tennis shoes. Then you know what? Get $50 tennis shoes. I miss them. Remember the old Stephen Marbury's? $7.98. That's what I used to wear in our basketball league. Because when you have skill, you can wear flip-flops and you're going to do good. Okay? It's like, now, I'll be honest with you. My wife bought me a pair of Nikes, and I'm like, okay, these are more comfortable. I get it. But listen, I didn't have no problem with wearing that because I only played once a week. But listen, just afford what you can afford. God's goal, number four, and earning, and I that's a strong. One of God's goals in earning is forgiving. Is forgiving. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, God says, not only should you quit stealing and start working, you'll feel better about yourself, I'm pretty sure, but that'll allow you also to be a blessing to others. See? That gets your whole mindset away from just, listen, and we'll get to it in a minute, stealing is really selfishness. It's about me. But when you have the mentality, I'm going to do what I, and you also have a heart for others who maybe are having a tough time. Sometimes people are legitimately having a hard time, and you can help them. That's one of God's goals. That, by the way, that'll solve theft. You say, no. What I'll do is I'll go steal so I'll have more to give to others. It's wrong. The ends doesn't justify the means. Okay? If you have the right philosophy about money and possessions, that will cure you from the temptation to steal in the first place. All right, number five. There are two great principles related to this command to steal. Okay? Letter A. God established a person's right to have property and possessions. God established a person's right to have property and possessions. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom of the Lord, for thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength of all. So it all comes from God, and riches and honor, if we possess it, that comes from God to us also. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish a covenant which he sware by his fathers, as it is this day. See, if you possess anything, they say, well, I wouldn't work. God gave you the power and the ability to get that. So if God has given you the power and ability to earn it correctly and in a proper manner, he's establishing that it is okay for you to have it in the first place. Well, you know, it's just that stuff, and it should be for everybody. No, it should be for the person that God, and that's everybody, works to get what they have. We're not communists. Everything belongs to everybody else. By the way, that doesn't work. You go to socialist countries, the only ones with the money are the ones at the top. Everybody lives in shared poverty. But I heard a story. There was a professor one time. He was trying to teach his class this philosophy. So what he did is they all took their first test, and he came back and said, here's what I'm going to do with the test scores. I'm going to average the test scores out for the whole class, and everybody gets the same grade. He did that for the whole semester. You know what happened? Those that got A's quit trying because they realized it wasn't going to change anything because there was a lot of people not doing any work. The whole class failed. That's communism. You know, this whole thing, take from the rich. Listen, I'm not for people, you know, I mean, hey, look, if you earn it, that's one thing. Be generous with it. But that it doesn't work that way. Okay? God has established that you have the right to your possessions and your property. And we have no right to circumvent that and take that from people. When we take from another, you know we're sinning against God because he established their right to have that. Well, God wants them to give. Okay, but he doesn't want you to take. Figure that one out. If a society is going to function properly, it needs to be that way. You say, well, what keeps people from getting greedy and all that? We'll get to that in the next point here. We all do have personal accountability, which leads us to this next point. Letter B, a person's right to have property in possessions is not absolute. Now, you just said a second ago that they have a right to possessions and property. We do, but it's not absolute because of one thing, stewardship. Stewardship. You understand that a steward is managing what they have, which was given to them from God. That's why someone that says, steal no more, says, hey, earn that and also be a giver. Well, if you're a steward of that which God has given you, you'll handle your finances correctly. You won't be greedy. You won't be selfish. You won't be all of those things. Because you understand that although God has given it to me and allowed me to have it, he wants me to use it the way that he intended that I should. That's the balance. But it's not up to us to tip the balance. We let God do that. Number six, and we're done. Beware of the two root causes of stealing. What are they? A, greed. Greed. Proverbs 1:29, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Proverbs 15:17, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gift shall live. Greed. What is greed? Always wanting. Greed never has enough. Never. But they asked one of the multimillionaires, when is enough enough? It's always going to be $1 more. $1 more. We'll talk next week when we get to Commandment 10 about contentment. Contentment is the cure for greed. And then the last thing is, letter B, selfishness. Selfishness. What is a person that steals says, it's more important for me to have it than you, even though it's yours, so I'm going to take it for me. Stealing. Stealing is one of those things like lying. Now, I think people lie more. We'll talk about that next week. But we're not supposed to steal. God's way to get things is to earn it. Okay? That's the way it is. Let's pray.